League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hello, everybody. It's me, Roscoe, and welcome to another Kings of Anglia Fan Social, the show where the Carrow Army share their thoughts on all things town. And we are once again live on all platforms. If you're listening on another day, then why not join us every Friday night, 7:30, on all platforms, as I mentioned, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, potentially Instagram in the future. We'll wait and see about that. Today, I'm joined by two fine gentlemen. You know, Davidson in Matt and Cole, the author himself, full of flavour, as we chat all things town. We're not going to muck about. We're going to get right into it. Matt, welcome to the show, making your debut. A long-time listener. You made a few mailbag questions. I had a good mailbag a few weeks ago. How are you, my friend?
Yeah, very good. Thank you, Ross. You know, having a bit of withdrawal symptoms from the season. You know, all the celebrations and everything, double promotion. You know, I've been following town since, well, I was about 8 years old. I saw them in the Premier League under Burley. Then I've had to suffer all these years under McCarthy, Keane, Jewell and whatnot. Had a season ticket for the majority of the time, but, you know, finally see the good times again. Just buzzing to see us back in the Premier League and see what we can do.
Yeah, indeed, my friend, yeah. 20 plus years without Premier League football and we're finally here with, you know, we've got time to sort of reflect on it. We'll see, you know, a few more weeks until the fixtures are released. Can't wait for that. We've got some of the checks getting ticked already in terms of different things. Obviously, retain list is out, and which we'll cover later on in the show. And also, the transfer window opens next Friday. So we'll probably do a live show to talk about the transfers. And we're here joined by Cole Fuller, the man who does a great column for us every season. My friend, welcome back to the show. And you are fresh off getting a new tattoo.
Yeah, hi, Ross. Thank you for having me. Yeah, it's the season finished 5 weeks ago tomorrow, but it hasn't really stopped for me yet with the book and getting the tattoo done. So my close season starts tomorrow, I think. I feel a bit late to the party with the tattoo because so many people I've seen on social media said they would get one if we got promoted, and lo and behold, already got theirs. I said last summer, someone said to me how great it was to get promoted to the Championship, and what would it be like if we get promoted to the Premier League next season? I said, crikey, if that happens, I'll get something tattooed, not thinking that it would have to happen. I've already got an Ipswich tattoo, but got that 23 years ago. So, yeah, just a simple one. A lot of my family probably don't know I've got this or we're having it.
So, find out now.
Yeah, so they're going to find out. So I don't know if I can quite get that on there, but it's the horse running towards adversity, which is obviously the motto inside our shirt. Yeah. And I do a lot of running myself, part run and 10Ks, half marathons. So it kind of has a double-edged meaning for me. So, yeah, that's been done today.
You happy with it?
Yeah, well pleased. I mean, the horse, the intricacies on the horse is just amazing. Very sort of well detailed. Yeah, well happy.
Do you want to shout out to the tattooist? You know, the
A guy called Aaron Pereira in my hometown of Clacton-on-Sea at Lost Arts Social Club. Well done, Aaron. Brilliant job and really pleased, mate. Thank you.
That's good to hear. Matt, how far, you know, do you think people will go with tattoos? I know there's some people who have done McKenna's face or done other things. Have you got a tattoo or you won't go that far?
No, I haven't gone that far yet. I've seen loads online, you know, with McKenna's face on there, you know, different players' names on there. You know, I've seen people who've had kids since we've been promoted and calling their children after players' names. I know Carl mentioned earlier that his child was named after Craig Forrest, was going back a bit of time. But I mean, I have with not tattoos, but I've had like superstitions throughout the season, like, you know, I'm winning runs and I won't change me shirt. And then, you know, when I've been to a couple of games this season, like away games, like Cardiff, which we lost, and I was like, I was blaming myself because, you know, I might have changed part of my like routine or something like that. But yeah, I'm quite superstitious with stuff, but I haven't gone as far as got a tattoo yet.
Yeah, yeah, it's interesting how people do go that far. Obviously, you know, you have a football club, but yeah, I wouldn't go that far. I'll have to admit, ladies and gentlemen, I wouldn't go that far. No offense, Carl, but you know, maybe that's as a badge or something, but no one's like faith or something. Maybe, you know, name your dog after somebody. I know good old Ben Diaz, part of the Cowie Army, he named his cat after Gus Unenbeek, you know, back in the 90s. But yeah, it's interesting. Carl, you mentioned earlier, and I mentioned in the intro, you've got a new book out, my friend. You released one last year. You've got another one out as well.
Yeah, yeah. So I've got it here, Ross. This is the Game Changers Premier Edition. So it's kind of a follow-on from the book I did last season, which was just the Game Changers last season that chronicled our promotion from League One to the Championship. And I wrote that after the season, believe it or not. And this year I thought I'd write it as I go along, just in case. And, of course, we got to about Christmas time and I thought, this could be on. You know, we could reach the playoffs and get promoted and I can get another book out. And then we got to Easter and I thought, this is coming out.
Yeah.
And it would have been released. It was released last Sunday, but it could have been released probably a week earlier if it hadn't have been for the Kieran McKenna shenanigans, because there's a few references about him being here next season. And I was torn as to whether to take them out, leave them in and release the book and take a chance, or be patient, hold fire. And yeah, that's what I did in the end. So it came out last Sunday and well, they've just blown off the shelf. And also it's increased sales from last season's book. So I think people are wanting both. Not sure what's going to come out next year because we obviously can't get promoted again. but what I can tell you is there will be another book out in time for Christmas this year.
Oh, great to hear, great to hear. Where can people find the book or get the book and all that jazz?
Okay, so if anybody wants to get a copy through me, signed, I was going to say with limited edition bookmarks, but I've only got 3 left because I had 50 limited edition bookmarks and 47 of them have already gone. So if you want one of those, you've got to get in an order tonight, I would say. If you visit thefullerflavour.co.uk, and in the menu at the top of the screen, you'll see the Game Changers First Edition and Premier Edition. Click on that, and that will give you all the book details and ordering details. Or if you don't want it signed, and why wouldn't you, just jump straight into Amazon, put my name in, Carl Fuller, Carl with a K, and you'll see all my books on there.
Nice one, my friend. Yeah, get yourself, Town fans, if you want something to read for your next holiday or whatever, any trip, or just, you know, an evening read, then, you know, go and get it for Carl and support him and his book. Loved it. Love that, Matt. Carl. Matt, let's talk, though, about quickly, because this time last week, we were getting the news that McKenna has signed a new deal. I'm sure you're a very happy man, like everyone.
Yeah, yeah. Obviously, there was a lot of stuff in the papers, like, obviously, with you guys, you know, trusted journalism, I was following you guys. I didn't believe half of the stuff. I think a lot of it was like agent like talk. Obviously delighted to keep hold of McKenna, even if it is going to be for like one season. It would have been such a shame for us to have gone up, you know, double promotions and then to lose our manager and then, you know, the identity that he's got us playing with and the style of football, to have that all broken up and start again with a new manager. You know, that would have been unthinkable, really. But yeah, delighted that he's staying, and hopefully now we can have a great summer in the transfer window. And obviously, with his connections, and I think we're going to be able to sign a lot better player than what we would have done if he had a left.
Yeah, it would have been interesting, wouldn't it, Carl? As you said, the book, you were like, oh, please stay. And thankfully he did. As I said this time last week, everyone could just relax at home, you know, have a beer or two or whatever, you know, whatever you do. To sort of celebrate, and yeah, he's here to stay for, you know, a big contract as well.
Yeah, look, we know it's going to be difficult next season, and to me, if you go back to the Maidstone game when we lost in the FA Cup, everything had to align for Maidstone. They had to have a bit of luck. They had to ride out the first 30 minutes. And they just had to have all the ingredients go their way. And we're going to need all the ingredients to go our way next season just to finish 17th. I'll take 17th now, but why should we be doubting what we could be achieving? We could achieve 10th, 11th, 12th, who knows? But we're going to need everything to align for us. And the key part of that is Kieran McKenna staying and getting us into that position to begin with. So, yeah, very crucial that he stayed. And I don't want to be clever after the event, so to speak, but I never had any doubts. I wasn't one of these that panicked or I spoke to one or two people connected to the club within the game. And, you know, when you were seeing links that he was speaking to Brighton or Chelsea, people that I spoke to just said, no, it's business as usual as far as we're concerned. And, you know, it just put myself at ease. I just didn't worry about it.
Yeah, I know there was everyone refreshing their social media every day. I was in the process of moving house. I didn't need to worry too much. I was just sort of like had a little check here and there. But no, thankfully it's all sorted. And now it's just back to business. Summer is like no other, you know, where there'll be signings, there'll be other things. And obviously the first thing that we all wait for was the retain list. And it is out, boys. And no really big surprises. The headliner obviously is Kaelin Jackson among the four players released. Obviously been at the club since 2018, one of the longest serving players, you know, alongside like Luke Walford, and who, of course, you know, he's Ipswich lad. But yeah, Matt, Kaelin Jackson has left over 150 games for the club. Been part of this rollercoaster journey, you know, from relegation to League One, then the bad times in League One, played under three different Pauls, Paul Hurst, Paul Cook, Paul Lambert, obviously became a different player under McKenna. Sort of McKenna saved him in a way and he became a footballer again. But yeah, how would you reflect on Kaelin Jackson's spell? Ups and downs, but a player that, you know, should be remembered for, yeah, as you know, from being in the doldrums to then, you know, celebrating promotion to the Premier League.
Yeah, well, he splits opinion, Jackson, doesn't he? You know, obviously McKenna gave him a new lease of life. You know, his main attribute is his pace, you know, back up to Burns. But, you know, going in the Premier League, I did think maybe, you know, I thought he was one of McKenna's favourites. I thought he may get another, like, year. You need those sort of, like, squad players, like, people who, you know, are good in the dressing room. You know, they don't mind just being a backup player and stuff like that. But I believe that Jackson actually won a competition to be a footballer, which, you know, is a bit ironic with some of the Ipswich fans. You know, a lot of them give him some unnecessary stick, but you know, he has contributed a lot to the club. Although he started off as a striker, you know, you could see he's never really like a natural like finisher in front of goal. I think I remember a game against Derby. That was the one where we were on Sky. I think it was on a Friday night, and
we're wearing that black kit, I think, what you're wearing.
Yeah, we're wearing the black kit, yeah, for the first time. And I think we won 1-0, but like the ball came out to Jackson. It was like an empty goal or something, and then he missed. And then I think did he miss a penalty in that game as well?
I think he did,
yeah. Yeah, and I can just remember, like, in the North Stand, we're giving him so much, like, stick and stuff at the time. But, you know, he's got fantastic character because he's, you know, he's always, like, bounced back. And, you know, last season he scored a couple of important goals, come off the bench. I think he scored in the Sunderland game at home. So, you know, he's contributed really well. But obviously, like now, you know, going up to the Premier League, we're in this. It's a different kettle of fish now, isn't it? You know, those backup players which were good enough for League One and perhaps the Championship, we're going to need better than that now. So, like, you know, unfortunately, as the journey goes on, some of the people are going to be left behind, and unfortunately, he's one of them.
Yeah, obviously, we wish Kaelin all the best, and yeah, just a good lad all round as well. May not be the greatest footballer in the world, but he worked hard, you know, was, you know, put on 100%, didn't he, Cole? How do you look back at Kaelin Jackson's spell at the club? As I said, ups and downs.
Yeah, I echo a lot of what Matt says there. For a guy to win a competition to become a professional footballer to begin with, albeit, you know, Accrington Stanley, and then what was it, a 1.7 million move to Ipswich. Yeah, I suppose when people, I always refer to Ipswich as being our bubble, and people outside the bubble won't know our story, won't know the journey we've been on from League One to the Premier League. You know, we've done this season with a lot of players that played in League One, and it's an incredible story. And I guess Caden Jackson epitomises that story, that he was a League One player for the majority of his career, coming to the Championship with Ipswich, not as a starter, not as really anybody's first name on the team sheet or you know, in the first 11. Did a job when called upon, but as Charlie alluded to in the chat there, we just need better going forward in the Premier League, and wish Caden well. My daughter and I got a few photos of players after the Huddersfield game, and incredible to have that. And Caden was the first player that my daughter had a photo with, and it was just a nice moment. You know, a player that had achieved promotion to the Premier League, and he's got that on his CV, albeit not as a Premier League player now, but he did get promoted, and he'll serve somebody well in the Championship next season, no doubt.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see where he ends up. But yeah, I'm sure he'll find a Championship team. I think he's just turned 30, so we shall see where he ends up. And as you know, I was doing ex-Blues thing every day normally, and I'm sure I'll be doing a piece on him when he does sign for a new club. Matt, should we talk about some other players? Obviously, there's four part of the retained list in terms of players released. Panucci Kamara, Dominic Ball. You said you want to cover Panucci Kamara. Yeah, he was here and he was then gone. Obviously, he spent most of last season with Charlton. I've had a lot of injuries. Was a player that I was really excited when we signed him from Plymouth. That was deadline day. Obviously, done really well in League One with the Devon side, but just never really happened for him, did it?
No. As I said, he was getting rave reviews at Plymouth, and it was a bit of a coup to get him, really. I think we paid, about $500,000, though, which obviously does look a bad business in hindsight. But he's just never had any luck with injuries. I think he got himself fit. I remember him getting a goal in the FA Cup away at Bracknell, didn't he? But he's just stopped start, unfortunately for him. I think he's had a couple of loan moves, and he's never really got himself fit, had all sorts of different problems, I believe. So it's just, we've done pretty well in the transfer market since McKenna has come in. He's got most things right. So, that one obviously hasn't worked out, unfortunately. But, hopefully he can get himself fit and be an asset to somebody, whether it's probably League One still. But if he can get himself fit, then hopefully he can go on to still do something in the game.
Yeah. Anything on that, Carl, do you want to add on a Panucci? Just another player that, just wasn't the right time, and injury. Sad. And hopefully he does get himself, really fit, as Matt said.
I was like you, Ross, when he signed. I thought, cool, that's a really good signing. I thought he was a good player, when he was fit at Plymouth. But I've got a little interesting statistic for you. Regular readers of my column will know that I like my stats. Kieran McKenna doesn't get much wrong in the transfer market, as Matt says, and so far he's signed 27 players, 18 permanent, 9 on loan. And only twice has he signed a player, more than one player. Sorry, get it right. Only once has he signed more than one player on the same day. And if you think of those signings that he hasn't sort of got right, Kamara being one of them, I guess the other one would be Ghassan Ahadmi. And he was the other one that signed on the same day as Panucci Kamara. So maybe something just wasn't in the water properly on that given day. Couple of panic signings, well, not panic signings, but they were announced that day anyway. Obviously, the transfer market, I can't remember now whether it closed on the last day of August or on the 1st of September, and they were announced on the 1st. But yeah, those two came in on that day and probably been the weakest two signings.
Yeah, just one of those things. Sometimes it doesn't always happen. Out of those 27, they're not always going to get right. Just like, once again, Paul Cook's demolition summer. 19 summer signings, not all of them worked out. Thankfully, most of them did, like Sam Morsey, Connor Chaplin and co. And Wes Burns, obviously, was the first out of those ones. Obviously, Dom Ball, also another midfielder who got released. 2 years, Dom, obviously, he's another player who dropped down to League One with us, just like players I mentioned. Chaplin and Morsey, they dropped down to League One as they were established Championship players. But Matt, Don Ball. Just he seemed like a good lad. You know, once again, you know, you need them in football, I think, in the dressing room, and he sounds like he's a, you know, it was a big sort of member of that squad in terms of just that team chemistry and everything like that.
Yeah, again, similar to Jackson, you know, a good squad player, good behind the scenes, seems a really good bloke. You know, again, I think he's again a bit unlucky with injuries. I think in his first season, that was in, I think it was the 4-4 draw at Charlton, he picked up an injury, which then I think pretty much kept him out for the rest of the season when he was just starting to like settle in. I know it's like Alex says, it's like a Swiss Army knife, you know, he can cover lots of different positions. So that's obviously useful. Versatile, he can cover at right back. I think he played centre back a couple of times. So yeah, just another valued squad member. But again, like I said about Jackson, going forward, you know, he's not going to be good enough for the Premier League, unfortunately. So yeah, I think, you know, sort of mid-lower championship is probably like his level. And again, you know, I think he's about 28 now. He needs to like go out and get games and play regular football. But yeah, he's a really nice bloke. I mean, I've read his book that come out, and you know, he's another one who's just like, you know, there in the community. You know, never has to be asked twice to go out and do events and things like that. And he's, you know, I think he's quite a popular member of the dressing room. So, yeah.
Yeah, once again, wish him all the best. I was about to mention that, Matt. I was going to say to Cole, fellow author in Dominic Ball. Yeah, how'd you look back at his time? You know, 2 years, back promotions. Okay, didn't play all the games, but he was part of that team. I'm sure he, you know, celebrated as much as everyone else did.
Yeah, he'd done a job when he was called upon. I think probably what went against him in the end was his versatility. There wasn't really a settled place for him. He was never going to get in to midfield ahead of Sam Morsy and Massimo Luongo, probably wasn't ever going to get in at centre-back anywhere, and obviously wasn't going to get in at right-back ahead of Harry Clark, Axel Tuanzebe, and yeah, but seems like a lovely bloke, and again, someone else that will be a good signing for a championship club.
Yeah, we shall see where he ends up. Final player, Nick Hayes, who obviously spent most of last season out on loan, he was third choice, sort of fourth choice goalkeeper. Yeah, has now joined Barnet after a spell with Solihull Moors. I've played at Wembley twice and sadly lost in both games. Cole, you've got a bit of a chat about this. I think I've now know why, because he's of course born in Clacton. So local yeah. to you. But quick one on him.
Yeah, so there's a couple of high schools in Clacton, and Clacton Coastal Academy is one. It's where my daughters currently go. They're in the sixth form. And my nephews, Jack and Harry, also went there. And Jack told me a few years ago now that there was a lad in his year at school that had signed for Ipswich. And I kind of thought, oh, who could that be? You know, a young lad, and we'll probably never get to know. And he said he was a goalkeeper, and his name was Nick Hayes. And I know that Nick went back to the school either this year or last year. I can't remember now off the top of my head, because the Ipswich Foundation Trust now work with the school, which, by the way, is great. You know, here we are in Essex in Clacton, and it was great to go to the school on a sixth form evening and see a stall there for the Ipswich Foundation Trust branching out of Suffolk. And I know Nick went along with one of the Foundation Trust guys, so he was giving something back to his school. So, yeah, knowing that he went to school in Clacton with my nephews and my daughters, or not with them, obviously, but at the same school, it kind of just had me keeping an eye on what might happen with him. Of course, it hasn't worked out with Ipswich, but yeah, you're right. He lost 2 weeks in a row, didn't he, at Wembley?
Yeah.
Were they both on penalties? I know one was.
Yeah, penalties as well. Yeah, it was on penalties as well. I think he saved a few as well, but yeah, you know, his teammates couldn't score it. So he's like, oh, I'm doing my job, lads, but you're
not. Yeah.
Yeah, but now wish all the best to all the players who are departing. But yeah, obviously we've got this new journey in the Premier League. One player that is potentially leaving, Matt, but will be here in pre-season, that is Janoi Dinashian, who, just like Kane Jackson, has had a roller coaster journey in Suffolk. Yeah, thoughts on him, you know, an unbelievable character as well. Started the season as our starting right back, played really well against Sunderland's. Played well against Stoke as well, but then got injured, and we haven't really seen him since that early days in the Championship. But yeah, JD will be a player that I'm sure a lot of people remember for a long time.
Yeah, again, there's another, you know, really good character. behind the scenes, and you know, been very unfortunate again with injury, because you know, he started off the season, you know, the first game of the season he was playing right back. And I mean, defensively, you know, I think he's better than Clark defensively. He's very good one-on-one. You know, again, it was a bit of a saga with him. I think we signed him, didn't we, on loan initially, and then didn't we then pay like 750,000 for him from Accrington? I think Accrington have done pretty well out of us over the years. Yeah, I mean, he was, you know, brilliant for us in League One. I mean, he was, I think he started most games under McKenna until we signed Harry Clark. You know what you're going to get with him. You know, sort of good 7 out of 10 every game. He was a bit limited going forward, but I did think he did improve that side of his game under McKenna. And yeah, I mean, you never know. He may get himself fit, and I don't think we will offer him a new deal, but you never know with him. He's had enough times when you think his career with us is going to come to an end, and he seems to stick around.
Yeah, we shall see. Yeah, he's here, bit of a duty of care sort of thing. You know, I think we've done that a few times. You see a lot of clubs do it, you know, giving that, you know, facilities to sort of recover and see where he ends up. Yeah, Cole, another player that, you know, part of this long journey we've had in League One, and now obviously back in the top flight.
Yeah, I'm not surprised really that we obviously kept him with the duty of care thing, getting fit, and who knows. I would hazard a guess that he will probably be released. But he was on a similar journey to Cameron Burgess. And I've got a mental block. I'm just thinking, did Cameron Burgess come from Accrington?
Or yeah, was it someone?
Yeah. I'm just thinking we ended up, well, it all started with an FA Cup match there, didn't it? When we took a few hundred and filled their coffers and said, well, we'll have a few of your players now. Cameron Burgess obviously didn't have the best of starts with Ipswich, but just got better and better and proved to be an excellent centre-back last year. And I think Danasian was on the same path, really. He was just getting better and, as you say, started the season. I was at Queen's Park Rangers where he picked up his injury, and we haven't seen him since, have we, really? Another fantastic bloke. And who knows, if he'd have stayed fit, he could have been a mainstay in the side. He obviously had a great partnership with Wes Burns down the right. We'll never know, but I'd be surprised if once he is fit, he does stay at the club.
Yeah, we shall see. Quick little mention of players who had their options triggered or taken by the club. Cameron Burgess, as you mentioned. Idris El-Mazouni, who, of course, been out on loan with Leighton in the last 2 years. Axel Tuanzebe, who recently won his first cap for the DR Congo, so congratulations to him, and Christian Walton as well. Matt, do you want to mention, say anything about any of those players? I think Cameron Burgess was always the one we were like, yep, yeah, you've got to sign that new deal, because he's been unreal the last few years. The thing about Cameron Burgess as well, though, you know, he's currently out in Australia, you know, playing for his country again, although I think he's in our new sub, but like that's, you don't get really time to rest, really, because he's like, got promoted, and then he's straight away playing international football, which I think it is just mental, but it's just part and parcel of all. But I think Cameron Burgess is the big talking point there, because, you know, a season he's had, and it's obvious going to get that option taken. Surely a you know, long-term contract needs to be, you know, offered at some point.
Yeah, I would have thought, you know, a long-term contract's on the table for him. I mean, he's, in my opinion, he's the most improved player under McKenna. You know, I think when he first come in, he was really struggling. There was a cup match on TV where I think it was at Barrow when he first come in, and he, you know, he was pretty much humiliated that night. And we thought, you know, again, Accrington, what, they take 750,000 off him for, but at the time we looked like, you know, that was money that was not well spent at all. But, you know, he stuck with it, and, you know, McKenna's done wonders with him, you know. You know, he's great in the air. He's got a great left foot on him. Him and Davis combine really well down that side. And, you know, he just adds that bit of like assurance at the back. And yeah, he's been brilliant this season. And, you know, he fully deserves to have a new contract and have a go at the Premier League, in my opinion.
And Cole, we've not got many players in the squad who has played Premier League football. Cole, Axel, about to say, you played Premier League football, Cole, there, Lee, for a second. But Axel Tuanzebe, obviously, was our, you know, starting right back at the end of the season. Of course, played in, you know, the Premier League with Manchester United. That option has been taken for him. It'd be interesting to see where his role is in the top flight, because obviously he's playing right back, but now with, you know, he may look at centre half as an option. But where do you see him fitting in potentially?
Yeah, I think I see him switching into centre half. We've got space for about 9 signings, and we've got to balance that out with the financial fair play rules. I mean, I was watching your show earlier with Mark and Stuart and Alex, and talking about signings. We would all love Hutchinson for 20 million, but we don't want to blow 20 million on like Hutchinson and, you know, and 20 million on someone else. And you kind of think, where is the one area where we've got enough in-house to maybe save a bit of money? And Burgess should be able to do a job in the Premier League. Can Wolfenden? I don't know. Wolfenden and Twanzebe scare me at times. They're just so laid back. And on their day, they're really good footballers. But on another day, I think it was at Watford when Twanzebe just kept scaring the life out of me. And I think as he's got that bit of experience in the Premier League, I do envisage seeing him moving over into the centre-back position, and maybe we could just save a few pennies in that area.
Yeah, we shall see. It's going to be interesting. As I said, this time next week, the transfer window is open. I'm sure business is getting sort of now, looking and stuff like that, but we shall see. Big talking point, obviously, is goalkeeping situation. Obviously, Walton has signed that extension, but Vaz is still in talks. Matt, your thoughts on that, my friend? Are you getting a bit concerned that nothing's been sort of announced yet? Obviously, Vaz maybe looking at his options. Obviously, both goalkeepers probably want to know their insurances. Will they start? Obviously, as well, I just want to mention, I've just seen the message in the chat. England are losing against Iceland 1-0, which is not good. Obviously, by the time people may listen to this, you'll find out the full-time score. But as of this recording right now, England are losing against Iceland in a friendly. We'll move on. We, of course, lost against them in the Euros back in the day, which was bad times. But yeah, Matt, goalkeeping situation, thoughts on it?
Yeah, it's a bit of an intriguing one, this, because, you know, we could end up with, there's two same goalkeepers we've got now. We might end up with none of them. But, you know, again, I'd love to keep hold of Halaki. You know, he's just integrated into the way we play. I mean, I think he's had a fantastic season. Yeah, he's made a few errors that people have got on his back about, but what goalkeeper hasn't made errors? You know, the way, you know, he's integral to the way that we play from the back. You only have to see some of the goals that we've scored and how the attacks have started. And, you know, for him to like come in, you know, first game of the season, he obviously thought he was going to be second choice to Walton. Walton got an injury just before the season started and he was thrown in at the deep end. I just think he's got better and better. Whether he's going to be good enough for the Premier League, we don't know, but I'd love him to stay. And I think he's done enough to get a new contract, but I think he's now 32, 33. So maybe he might be looking at the, you know, he may be able to get one big last payday from somewhere. Like, I know Celtic were linked with him before. So maybe he's just keeping his options open, his agents having a look round. But as you say, you know, he's only got a couple more weeks now before he's a free agent. So, yeah, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, Cole, how are you feeling about that current situation? Obviously, goalkeeper is a very important position, definitely for us next season, because I think we may have to defend a bit more than we're used to because of the Premier League teams we'll be playing up against. But, yeah, it's interesting sort of talking point.
Yeah, I once said in my column that Vaclav Halaki is not a goalkeeper. He's just a baller who's allowed to use his hands occasionally. Yeah, difficult one, because you're right. We are going to be a bit busier next season at the back. And obviously that means with the goalkeeper. And yes, he's had his critics with the use of his hands. I don't think many people have doubted too much with the use of his feet. And between Walton and Halaki, we've got a great goalkeeper. We could mix the two. But individually, are they quite good enough? Who knows? Look, we've got a whole squad of players that question marks are hanging over whether they'd be good enough in the Premier League. And one thing I'm glad about with the retained list is there wasn't a wholesale fire of players being released, because what we've got to be careful of, whilst Mark Ashton will say what got us here won't get us there, that's true. We do need to build on quality to get us there from here. But when you think about this League One squad that's flown through the Championship, it's done it with togetherness. It's done it with team spirit. It's done it with a very special, I'll come back to the word I said earlier, mix of ingredients. If you blow all that up and start again, you never know if you'll get all that back. And keeping at least one of Walton and Halecki will keep a bit of familiarity, a bit of consistency there. But will either of them be happy to be number two next season? Probably not. So, yeah, interesting to see if one or both do end up leaving.
Yeah, we shall wait and see. As we already mentioned, Ipswich Town are in the Premier League, and it was officially confirmed this week. Obviously, the Premier League had that AGM, all 20 clubs met and signed, and then we all saw the new league table, and obviously Ipswich Town's crest among the other crests in the top flight. And yeah, that was a nice feeling, wasn't it, boys? Just seeing that, you know, we're 10th in the Premier League as this recording, because no ball.
Stop the season.
Stop the season now. Stop the count. But Matt, do you feel that now it feels real? We knew it was real anyway. We all knew we were in the Premier League. But when you see that officially there, when you see Ipswich Town in the league table, sitting in 10th and looking pretty.
Yeah, still surreal, really, because, you know, I last saw Ipswich in the Premier League, you know, 22 years ago. And, you know, there was a point when I thought we'd never get back to there again. But, you know, last season, I was at the Coventry away game, and that was the point then. At the end of that game, you know, you saw like the relief and the explosion of noise and that in that away end and the players and everything. That was the time then last season that I knew we'd done it. I knew as soon as we got out of that game, I knew that we were promoted. I knew we were going to get a result on the last day of the season. And then, obviously, with all the celebrations and everything like that, and then I was at Christchurch Park, and, you know, again, you just don't believe it. But now, obviously, as just before the fixtures come out, seeing that table yesterday with our name on it and everything like that, it's just you still have to pinch yourself where we were, you know, just over 2 years ago, stuck in the middle of League One, you know, to where we are now. You know, it's just amazing, really, what we've done in that 2.5 years under McKenna. But yeah, I'm just so happy that I can see us back in the Premier League again, because I didn't think I'd see the day.
Yeah, Cole, we've had a good month or so to sort of celebrate this, but yeah, I think many of us never thought we'd see Ipswich Town in the top flight, you know. Yeah, and to see that now officially confirmed, obviously, I think McKenna and Ashton were at the AGM, you know, signing on the dotted line. Obviously, had to do the big vote. We'll chat about that shortly. But yeah, it now feels real. And obviously, you made it real with the tattoo.
Yeah. It hasn't sunk in. And then I got the tattoo, and then I thought, you know what? It's just starting to feel it. And I think it will really cement its place when the fixtures come out and we're away to Man City on the opening day of the season.
Yeah. I can't. Yeah, fixtures. Just can't wait for that. It's the next sort of thing we're looking forward to. And yeah, we'll chat about that a lot. Obviously, one thing we're going to have to get used to, boys, is VAR, the three words that just makes me just not look forward to the Premier League. But the vote was had 19-1 in favour of it. Wolves, the only team not to, well, they're the one who wanted this vote to come in place because they didn't want it. But yeah, Ipswich Town sounds like they have voted for it, Matt. Yeah, I've never really experienced it live. I've only obviously seen it on TV. At that time, you can go and make a cup of tea or something, but in person, you don't know what's going on. You know, you've got multiple replays when you're watching at home. But, yeah, thoughts on that, my friend?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I think we said before we started the show that, I've not seen a game live with VAR, but obviously watched plenty of times on TV, and some of it's just a farce. I mean, it was brought out to, like, you know, for contentious decisions, like, you know, offsides, you know, ball over the line, things like that. But, like, you know, watching the cup semi-final with Coventry against Man United, I mean, they were completely robbed because, that's not in the spirit of the game, you know, to be offside by like an arm here or something like that. You know, that's not what it was meant to be about. And you know, there's been times when you're watching games and they've like taken 5 minutes to make a decision. And I think, you know, you could like Ipswich last season in the Championship, you know, probably you could have picked like maybe a quarter of our goals that we scored, which probably could have been ruled out if we had a VAR. So yeah, I'm not a fan of it. And you know, you celebrate a goal, you think you've scored a like last minute goal, only for that to be then taken away from you. I'd rather that it had been voted out, but I don't think that was ever going to happen, because once they've got it in there, they're never going to go back, I don't think.
Yeah, it's actually a good point here from Charlie in the chat. Say VAR, when it goes for you, it's the best invention ever. But when it goes against you, it's the worst feeling ever, which is very true. Because, if, you know, you get a penalty because of it, you go, yeah, happy days. Or, you know, you score a goal and it's offside, but it's not offside, you're like, happy days. But, yeah, Carl, it's something we've got to get used to in the Premier League. Someone said, you know, it could keep us up. Colin said this as well, you know, potentially one of the decisions could keep us up in the Premier League. But, your thoughts on VAR as a whole and, you know, Town, you know, facing it next year.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not looking forward to it from the point of view that if we're celebrating a goal like we celebrated Jeremy Sarmiento's goal against Southampton, and I've picked three or four bodies off the top of me, and then I then look around and suddenly see they're looking at a little screen by the halfway line, and it's going to be disallowed because of VAR, I'm not going to be able to skin graft my shin again, am I, to take away what skin got sort of ripped off on the seats. The most contentious part of it that everyone doesn't like is like the scenario that you alluded to, the Coventry game at Wembley. And there's just one thing that they just have to do that will clear all that side of it up, and then we can all get on with VAR and enjoy it. If the whole ball has to cross the line for it to be a goal, then if they make it that the whole last man or the player beyond the last man, it has to be the whole player. So there's daylight between the striker and the last defender. We can all see that daylight. They haven't got to draw lines, and we can all safely say, yeah, he was offside. When it's a toe, an arm, a shoulder, forehead, whatever, come on, you've got to give, a bit like in cricket, you give the batsman the benefit of the doubt. With the decision review system in cricket, the umpire can get a bit of benefit of the doubt. Umpires call. Tennis, you know, you can have reviews. In football, they need to do something where they make the most contentious part something that can be eradicated. And I believe daylight between the striker and the last defender will eradicate all that issue. And then VAR should serve its purpose.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting how it's going to be. As you said, though, that's the big thing. What takes away from the football is, you know, someone scores a late goal or just an important goal, and then it's ruled out, you know, 5 minutes later, and you're just like, every fan's just thinking, wow, just lost all that energy for nothing in the end, in the moment sort of thing. And I'm interested to see where they're going to put it at Portland Road. As you said, it normally is on the halfway line. It'll be interesting to see where they put it. I don't think they should put it near the dugout, because obviously McKenna and co will be like, Mike, come on in. What's the decision? But obviously, Matt, we said in the chat as well, in the green room, you know, obviously, we hopefully get more penalties potentially, because we've had so many different penalty shouts this year. Murray Hutchinson and many different players. So hopefully it will, you know, be benefit for us, but it also could come against us as well.
Yeah, definitely. You know, for the amount of attacking that we've done over the last two seasons, you know, we have the ball more often than not in the opposition's area. For us only to get like, you know, two or three penalties, I think, was it like Leeds and Leicester? I think Leicester, did they have like something like 14 penalties? And Leeds had quite a few as well. So, yeah, it was bizarre how we only, you know, only got two or three. But, yeah, hopefully next season with VAR, we might actually, you know, with players, if we re-sign Amari, for example, you know, the amount of times that he gets fouled in the penalty area or just outside the penalty area, you know, it's been a lot, few times this season. I think we mentioned before, Carl said about George Hurst in one of the games. I think it was two. I think it was in the Rotherham game away when we could have had two penalties and we didn't get any. So yeah, hopefully it does help us next season. But again, on the on the other side, you know, we might concede more penalties as well.
Yeah, offside goals and all that sort of stuff. But that's just one thing we've got to look forward to, Carl, in the Premier League. Any other notes on that? And yeah, it's just, yeah, it's voted.
Yeah.
Premier Club wanted it.
It's like Matt said, what we discussed in the green room with the penalties. I mean, George Hurst at Sunderland, first day of the season. How obvious was that penalty? Queen's Park Rangers away in the next away game. Hurst again, Hutchinson. And yeah, so in fact, I think there's probably been more times in the season just gone when I was wishing we had Bar than I didn't.
Yeah, well, we'll wait and see. It's going to be very interesting how we are going to be feeling in football grounds now, knowing if we have scored a late goal and do we go too far with the celebration just in case it get ruled out. But hopefully that won't be the case, but we shall wait and see. Well, boys, we're going to end the show with the strike and then we'll do any other business. Quick little update on the England score, if you care. I think it is still 1-0. Let's move on straight away. I don't think people really care, but it is what it is. With the Euro starting next week, which is mad, I think. You know, it's good, though. We do have a bit of football to look forward to, even if England, well, it should be, they are favourites, but we shall see. Sometimes friendlies are friendlies. But yes, boys, the strike. 5 questions plus a tiebreaker. Everyone in the chat, get involved. And who will be crowned the strike champion this week? Is it going to be Matt? Is it going to be Carl? We shall wait and see. Obviously, the questions are based on the retained list and also the stories that happened this week. So first question is on Caden Jackson, boys. And if you have been sort of looking, you know, at his stats and stuff, you'll maybe know this. But how many goals did Caden Jackson score for Town in 199 games? And Cole's got a bit of a smile on his face. So I think he may know this.
I was dreading this because obviously I've done this before and I think I did really poorly. And my running group, Clacton Seafront Runners, know how much I love my stats and how in-depth they are. And I've gone very amateurish on this that I should have been envisaging. I knew this was coming, but I didn't sort of do any prep work. And with this question, I have got no idea.
Oh, okay. All right, then. Well, if you get it bang on, boys, you get 2 points. But the closest to the correct answer gets the point. What do you reckon? Matt, go with you first.
I don't think he's got very many at all, I think. I think he's 25.
25, okay. Carl, what do you reckon?
Well, I was going to go low, but then I remembered he had that season where him and James Norwood got a few, didn't they? Yeah. 23.
Ooh, 23. Quickly have a look at the chat. Charlie's gone 22. Lynn, 28. And Lynn is correct. It is 28 goals in 199 games, which doesn't sound a lot, but he was also a winger as well. But yeah, Matt is the closest, though. And he gets the point to start off. So 1-0 going into question two. Question two is on Dominic Ball. And he only scored 1 goal for Town, and that was in a Pizza Trophy game. But who was it against? Was it Arsenal under-21s, Cambridge United, or Northampton Town? Obviously, the Pizza Trophy, we were always thinking potentially we'd go to Wembley, the new Wembley, for the first time. But no, every year we crashed out. But this year, and this season, we actually crashed out against Portsmouth in the, I think, the last 32 or whatever it is. But yeah, we did actually win a few games in the group stages for once. But yeah, Dominic Ball, 1 goal. What do you reckon, Matt? Who was it against?
Well, I know we beat Northampton. I think it was like 5 or 6-0. So I'm just trying to remember, did he score in that game or not? I'm going to go for Arsenal under-21s.
Okay. Carl, what do you reckon?
Yeah, I was going to say Arsenal under-21s. I think that was a game we were 2-0 up, was we? Drew 2-2 and lost on penalties, something like that.
No, actually, thankfully, that game, we actually won 2-0. We did score on that game. That was the season before when Paul Cook got sacked shortly after. Because we played Arsenal 21s back-to-back seasons in the group stages. So, but nah, both get a point, though. It's 2-1. Going into question three is on Panuche Kamara. Let me just have a quick look in the chat to see. Anyone else went for Northampton? No, it was Arsenal 21. So, Cole and Matt does get the point, as I said. But yeah, Panuche Kamara. What was his squad number? The squad number fans out there during his time at Town. Was it 22, 26 or 28? Don't think he got an official one this season, but last season, obviously in League One, when we got promoted, he did have a squad number. But which of these three did he wear? 22, 26 or 28? I'm sure the squad number people out there will be shouting at the answer right now. But yeah.
This is where you need a match day program on the side and quickly glance
little,
at it.
Little look, yeah. I think he wore number 8 at Charlton, so he got a good number there. But obviously when he signed, it was deadline day and a lot of the big numbers, you know, the numbers you want are taken. But I don't know, I wouldn't mind 22 or 26 or 28. Not bad numbers, more squad player numbers. But what do you reckon, Matt?
I'm going to go 28.
28.
Cool. Yeah. We should have written these down, so it doesn't look like I'm copying Matt, but I would have said 28.
I'll allow you. It is 28, though. It is 28, so it is 3-2 going into question 4. And question 4 is not on Nick Cage, I'm sorry to say. I've done, I think, a question on him before, and there's not many other, you know, it would have been, where was he born? But obviously you would have got that straight away, Carl. But question 4 is on Tommy Smith, who I recently did a story on this week. And if you did read the story, you may know the answer to this, but he's recently signed for a new A-League side. But who? Is it Auckland FC, Newcastle Jets, or Wellington Phoenix? Obviously, Tommy Smith was at MacArthur FC. Of course, he returned not to New Zealand, obviously. My voice is going here, ladies and gentlemen. Voice is going. No, it's a sip of water. But yeah, he recently left MK Dons earlier in the year and now he's playing in A-League football. But yeah, he signed for a new A-League club, good boys. What do you reckon? What do you think the answer is? Matt, start with you.
I don't think it's Newcastle Jets, so it's going to be one or the other. Can I ask a friend?
Something in the future I can do, yeah. Ask the audience.
What are we going to go with? I'm going to go with Wellington Phoenix.
Phoenix, okay, Cole.
Well, just for the avoidance of doubt, and I'm not following Matt, WP, Wellington Phoenix.
Wow, you're both wrong. It's actually Auckland FC, who are a newly formed team. They're actually a New Zealand team, so he'll be playing in New Zealand for the first time because there's actually teams who play or who are in New Zealand, who play in New Zealand, but also play in the Australian League, which, yeah, I'm sure that must be an interesting flight. But Auckland FC is signed for. So still 3-2 going into the final question. So, Carl, you need to get this right to take it to a tiebreaker. And it's on Josh Carson, who I did a story on today. Recently signed for a new Northern Ireland team, actually signed for a rival team because he rejected a new deal. And
I know where he was.
Yes. But no, that isn't the question, though. That isn't the question. The question is actually on his squad number because I just thought I'd do another squad number question. But what squad number did Josh Carson wear when he made his breakthrough at Town? He actually had, I think, 3 different squad numbers during his time at Town. But obviously, he made that breakthrough on the Paul Jewell. I think he scored twice against Palace, I think, in his third game for the club. But yeah, what was his squad number, Josh Carson? 36, 39 or 42. But yeah, made that breakthrough as a young lad.
It's going to be a high number because that was Jewell. We had about 50 or 60 players on the book for that time.
A lot of loan players as well. A lot of loan players. But yeah.
I'm going to go 39.
39. Okay. Carl, what do you reckon?
Unbelievable.
Oh, bloody hell. 39, Cole has gone as well. And you're both wrong. It's 42.
Oh, I was going to say that's a 6, but I write my 6s upside down.
No, 42. 42. So there we go. Well, Matt, you have won overall. So well done. But as always, I always ask my guests, are you going to gamble? Because I have got a tiebreaker. I have done my sort of research and done the effort of putting it down. Are you going to go? Are you going to gamble, my friend?
Oh, I've got to, haven't I?
You got to. I'm not. Do you know what? In future episodes, I'm not even going to say. Just go. We're doing a tiebreaker because it's fun. All right, it's fun to know. But Carl, you have to get this bang on to win. Right. And this man celebrated. Let me find out how old he turns. I'm sure he won't be happy for letting people know how old he is now. But George Burley obviously celebrated his birthday on the 3rd of June. He actually turned 68. Obviously, the last man to manage us in the Premier League. Until, of course, Kieran McKenna this season coming up. But yeah, how many games did George Burley win as Town manager in 400 games? I was going to do how many games did he win in the Premier League, but I didn't get around to doing that stat. I just thought I'd do an easier one. 410 games, obviously varied, you know, from the Division One, FA Cup, League Cup, UEFA Cup, obviously. I think Anglian Italian Cup, I think he managed some of those games as well, if I remember rightly. But yeah, Cole has to get this bang on to win, Matt. You can just play as well. Everyone else play at home. You've got to get back. Sorry, yeah, it's a bit harsh. Maybe if you get like really, really close, me and Matt will have to have a little chat. But, you know, 410 games.
What I need to say here is in my last year at primary school, and I know I'm going back a few years, but we did like a mastermind competition. Yeah. And I did the history of Ipswich. I might have only been 10, 11 years old. But out of all the 30 kids or whatever in the class, I actually won that. And I like to think that I went out at the top.
Yeah.
So my quiz master days are well behind me. Crikey, 410.
I don't know if this helps you or not. I don't know if you allow me to do this, Matt. His ratio is not too bad, his win ratio. It's over 40. I don't know if that helps. Sorry, Matt. I don't know if it's given Cole a chance here. It is over 40%. His win ratio. But yeah, that's all I'm giving.
Trying to think. He was manager for 8 seasons.
Yeah, 95. He got appointed and obviously left in 2002. Yeah.
7, 8.
The maths here.
Yeah, I'm a finance manager by trade.
Oh. How long will we give him, Matt? How long should we give him?
I'll tell you what, I'm going to go in 173.
Oh, 173. Not too shabby. What's your thinking, Matt? What do you reckon?
Yeah, well, I was like going like just under like the 50%, where you said 40. I'd probably go about like 185, 186. Yeah, 186.
Okay, 186. Just have a little look at the chat. Colin, 230. Charlie, 225. Lynn, 231. Lisa, 282. So that's big. 282. Wow. This is the numbers then. 128 defeats, 97 draws. And Matt, you said it originally, but then you went 186. It is 185 wins.
God, blimey.
45.1% win ratio. Matt, he's won overall, Carl, because he was the closest, but nearly got it bang on. So fair play, my friends. Well done, you are this week's strike champion. Speech as always.
One of the best achievements I've ever done. You know, it's up there with my marriage, 3 kids, everything, you know.
The pinnacle of your career.
I'm going to get a tattoo of it.
There we go. Good shout. In my opinion, very good shout indeed. But yeah, that was unbelievable. But good effort though, Cole. Good effort. But yeah, George Bradley, happy birthday from, I think it was Monday, he turned 68. So yeah, big shout out to George Bradley. And obviously, there's a great little video the club put out on Pat Gobbold, who have obviously been at the club for so long. Turned 89 recently as well. So big shout out to her. Been at the club since, you know, Sarah Ramsey days. So yeah, big shout out to her. Well, boys, we're getting to the hour mark. So we're going to end the podcast right here. But any other business from yourselves? Cole, anything else you want to mention? As you mentioned earlier, you've got a new book out, so plug that one more time. But anything else you want to mention?
Yeah, of course. Thanks, Ross. Yeah, the Game Changers Premier Edition. Visit my website at thefullerflavour.co.uk and navigate through the Game Changers tab in the menu. It's on Amazon as well. Yeah, and thank you to those that have bought it so far. It's really got off to a great start this week. In fact, for 2 or 3 days, it was the number one best-selling ranked book in the 3 categories I've registered it in. So that's British football clubs, Premier League clubs, and FA, English FA clubs. So, yeah, it's gone really well. The thing is with Amazon, you can look now and then look in an hour and the figures might change. So I think there's about 29 million books on Amazon. And the other day I was ranked 145th, so, or 345th, so I'll take that. But yeah, that's it really from me, Ross. Thank you for allowing me to plug that.
No, my pleasure, my friend. And yeah, well done all the stuff you've done with the column this season as well. I'm sure you're looking forward to
I can't wait. I mean, I had 10 years of writing rubbish. It's interesting that myself, Mark Heath, Stuart Watson, we've kind of been around a similar time and we've had to all write you know, over a number of years, a lot of rubbish. And I kind of feel we're all being suitably rewarded now with these last 2 years alone, and the fact we can all now write on Premier League stories. It's something I'm looking forward to.
Yeah,
thank you to Mark for having me again next season.
Yes, definitely. I didn't know if that was actually confirmed, but there it is. We can. He's already,
I normally have to wait until July for Mark to ask me to get on board again. And we had a chat. When did we have a chat? Oh, just after promotion was confirmed. And he said, "You're already on board for next season. Don't worry about it." And I thought, crikey, I haven't got to stew all summer and wait.
Yeah, that's good to hear. But look out for Full of Flavour in the Premier League, ladies and gentlemen. Great to have you on. And Matt, good debut, solid debut. Any other business from you?
Yeah, no, thanks for having me on. I've read Carl's first book. It was a good read, so I'm going to get his new book, bit of bedtime reading. Now we've got Kep McKenna, that's the main thing, and now we can look forward to the summer of transfer gossip and nonsense and who we're going to sign, who we're not going to sign, and then pre-season, and then fixtures coming out, new kits coming out. Yeah, it's a lot to look forward to. So
yeah, bring it on. Yeah, silly season is among us. We shall see all the rumors and stuff like that, and obviously we'll do our best to report what we find out. Final question from Colin. Said question, Roscoe: are Norwich City in the Championship? Yes, they are. Ipswich Town are in the Premier League, and that's a great way to end the podcast. As always, follow us on social media, on Kings of Anglia, on all the platforms you can get us. Also, check out Carl and Matt as well. Great to have new faces on the podcast. Also, check out our sponsors, Manscaped. Use the code KOA to get 20% off and free delivery for all your below the waist and, you know, your beards, your nose, and your ear hair and all that jazz. Check them out. And I'll be back for many more live podcasts and all that sort of stuff in the future. Enjoy your weekend, whatever you're doing. And we shall be back next time for another Kings of Anglia Fan Social. And bye-bye for now, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks, Carl and Matt, once again.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.